Now, there are three words that we need to keep before us to understand the providence of God in relation to the material universe and to man in particular. We have the word creation, and we understand by creation that God, by His fiat word, spoke this universe into existence. Do you have a better explanation? If you do, come up with it. I get, frankly, a little annoyed with the dogmatism of some of these half-baked scientists today. They're generally teaching today in some of our colleges, very candidly. Many of these men are not research scientists. They actually are not experts, but they speak as if they were expert, and they tell about how evolution, you know, formed man. Well, will you tell me where all of the goo came from out of which this thing evolved? Where did the earth begin? Did it begin out of nothing? And don't tell me it was always here. Because if you do that, then you've got an infinite universe. And if you've got an infinite universe, you've got to have somebody that's infinite to run the thing. We're on the horns of a dilemma. And actually, there's only two explanations for this universe today. One is speculation. Evolution comes under that. But before it came along, and it's comparatively speaking recent, there were other explanations for the presence of the universe. All of them have been exploded today, and I think in time evolution will fall by the wayside. It's speculation. Now we have the other's revelation. And the only way that you and I, certainly as Christians, will ever understand how this universe began is by faith. We understand that God brought this universe that you and I live in into existence. And that's the only way that you and I can explain it. And it's by faith. And that is by revelation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And either you believe in creation or you believe in speculation. There's no third explanation for the universe. That's creation. Then there's preservation. And that's a tremendous word. That means that somebody has to hold this thing together today. And we are told in Hebrews 1:3, upholding all things by the word of His power. And as Paul says in Colossians 1:17, and by Him all things consist. That is, they hold together. What is the stickum that holds this universe together? What is it that's making it run just like clockwork today, so they can send a man to the moon and plot exactly where the moon can be, and they can send a little gadget out toward Mars, and they know exactly where Mars will be? You say it's remarkable that man can do that. It's remarkable we got a universe that's running like clockwork. Who's running it? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is running it, upholding all things by the word of His power. Now, the third word is providence. And that's the word we're going to be looking at in the little book of Esther. Now, providence is the way that God is directing this universe. He's moving it into tomorrow. He's moving it into the future by His providence. Now, that means, and let me now get off of this theological high horse I'm on, and come right down where we live today, right where the rubber meets the road. And when we get down there, we find out that providence goes something like this. Providence means to provide. God will provide. You remember that's what Abraham said yonder on top of Mount Moriah. When Isaac said, "Where's the sacrifice?" Abraham said, "God will provide." Well, God provided 1900 years after Abraham. On the top of that same ledge that goes through Jerusalem, on Golgotha, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And God provided a lamb. God will provide Himself a lamb. And there's where the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world was offered. God provides. Now, providence means the hand of God in the glove of human events. And that means that when God's not at the steering wheel, He's the backseat driver. And He's the coach who calls signals from the bench. The way that God coaches the man on second base. That's the way that Providence moves. It's the unseen rudder on the ship of state. He's the pilot at the wheel during the night watch. And as someone has said, he makes great doors swing on little hinges. Little babies cry, and a woman's heart was brought together down by the River Nile when Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe, and the Lord just pinched little Moses, and he let out a yelp, and this woman came and looked down at him. And God used that to change the destiny of a people, by the way. And in the book of Esther, we're going to find out one night a king couldn't sleep. And he didn't have any aspirin tablets, so he read some records. And it's a good thing he read them. It changed the destiny of a people. That's providence. And we'll see providence in this book. We are going to see in this remarkable book here the permissive will of God. Now, that's the area where most Christians operate today, this area of the permissive will of God. Esther won a beauty contest. Now, somebody's going to say, you mean God approves of a beauty contest? I didn't say that. God, by his providence, saw that Esther won it, but they're not in the will of God. God doesn't approve of it. A great many Christians today are doing things God doesn't approve of, and they're wondering why they can't find the will of God. My friend, that's different to be guided by the will of God or by the providence of God. And there's a lovely thing said in the Word of God. He says, I'll guide them by mine eye. You know, you have to be close to a person to see their eye. And you have to stay very close to God, be in his will for him to guide you. But most people are guided by the providence of God. I have a book on Esther. I hope you'll ask for the notes and outlines. They are available and free to you, but the book, we ask that you send a gift, and it's a very attractive book, one of the most attractive we've ever gotten out. We'll offer that for the book of Esther, of course. Now, let me say that we have an outline of this book that we'll follow as we go through, and I'll just give it to you as we go along.